Welcome to Kickstart the Conversation, where we talk about all things entrepreneurship, marketing, and business growth. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Well, then you've come to the right place. Here on Kickstart the Conversation, we have real, honest conversations about what it takes to build a successful business in today's world. No fluff, no BS, just real talk about the challenges and opportunities that come with being an entrepreneur and growing your business. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned business owner, we've got something for you. From expert interviews to actionable strategies you can implement immediately, we'll help you get clarity, build momentum, and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to kickstart the conversation with your host, the Quiz Queen, Catherine O'Leary.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Kickstart the Conversation. I'm your host, Catherine O'Leary, and today I have Lori Ann, who is a speaking coach and speaking strategist. I've reformed Painfully Shy Gal, who, I love this, accidentally became a professional speaker, so can't wait to hear the story behind that. She works with coaches and consultants to write and deliver captivating presentations to establish credibility, attract ideal clients, and monetize their authority. She combines her years as an award-winning professional speaker, executive leadership coach, and her obsession with neuroscience. Lori Ann is a best-selling author of Rethink Leadership and Rethink Your Leadership, and is the host of Be In Demand podcast. A few of her clients are Johnson & Johnson, American Cancer Society, Bally Mastermind with Sabrina Phillip. And to learn more, we're going to talk to Lori Ann. So Lori Ann, welcome to Kickstart the Conversation.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here because you have a fabulous podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. We have a fabulous audience, so we love our audience. Tell me a little bit more about, we were talking just before we got on camera here and on audio, about redefining speaking. Because I think that people think that, you know, when you're speaking for your business, it's all about being in front of like Harvard Law or in front of, you know, the Tony Robbins 50,000 people stage. And let's face it, folks, there are few and far between of those particular stages. So let's talk a little bit about kind of speaking and stages and what that means for your business.
Well, I think speaking and different types of stages definitely needs to be redefined. You know, speaking is so much more than just a stage and Zoom these days. I mean, what we're doing right now, this is your stage. I consider podcast guesting and also my podcast a stage. Instagram stories, any sort of live streaming is a stage. Doing a business presentation. I mean, I really think that anywhere that you're really using your public speaking skills and sharing your brilliance and knowledge with one or more people, it's basically a stage and you are speaking.
And you're speaking, if you're careful, you're speaking to your target ideal clients. If you're picking out the stages that, you know, that you're researching and you're making sure that you're in front of your ideal clients, like that's gold. That you didn't have to go and search and hunt and, you know, cajole and try to figure out how to get them into a masterclass and all the things that drive people bonkers. You're actually leveraging other people's networks and other people's stages, which is, I mean, I think that's key to building your business.
And let's just talk about the people who said yes to being in your audience. Mm-hmm. They said yes because they've got the problem that the title of your presentation solves. They are spending their time, maybe they bought a ticket, maybe they bought a membership and you just happen to be one of the monthly speakers, but they raise their hand to being there, either physically or virtually. And so they are basically their leads. These are people that are very interested in what you have to offer and the problem that you solve. So when you speak in front of audiences, these are entire audiences of people who could potentially work with you either right now or in the near future.
How do you go about, I mean, so one of the things that we talked about I can never find the stage. How do you find all these stages? I mean, I don't know where to find these stages. And honestly, folks, you're tripping over them.
They're everywhere. They are everywhere. So the number of speaking opportunities that happen today globally is about 20,000. 20,000 events, meetings, and conferences happen today, and another 20,000 will happen tomorrow. Here in the US, that number is 7,500. So 7,500 events happen today, and there'll be more tomorrow. Speaking on podcasts, that's not included in that 7,500, by the way.
So daily. That's a daily number, folks.
That's a daily number. So they are everywhere. So you just need to open your eyes. So one of the first things that I tell people to do is make a list of all the different associations, memberships that you have, whether it's a chamber or a professional trade group, make a list of all the different places that you go to regularly or have a membership, and they have speakers. Because these are places that you're already a member of. You probably already know the people who actually book the speakers, and you know people that are going to be in the audience. So all you need to do is like, let's actually get you in front of your warm market, because from there, we can ask for referrals after you're done speaking to other groups that is now, I would consider like that, like this is a cold market, but you've got this warm introduction to another association, another group for you to speak at. So right. All it takes is finding, like, go to the next meeting, go up to the president, if you, or some other person that's of leadership, and just say, I'm just curious to who's in charge of booking our wonderful speakers that we have every month. And you find that person, just like, what is the process for us finding speakers? And mm-hmm. let them tell you how they go about finding speakers. Because you might find out that they either book month to month, or the committee all gets together and they spend a couple of days and they actually book out the entire year. So if they already booked out the entire year, you know, you want to find out, well, when do they start booking for the following year, and let them know that you're interested.
Right. And so that's, you know, that sounds like it's in person, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, a lot of those associations now are doing things virtually, correct?
Correct. And also just both. They've got, you know, a combination. Even a lot of conferences actually are having a virtual component for the people that mm-hmm. can't get to the event in person. And there's a number of reasons why people can't attend conferences. They don't have the proper childcare. They can't cross the country, you know, lots of reasons.
Yeah. So don't let the fact that you can't be there in person dissuade you, because I think that look beyond the opportunity that's staring right in front of you, because that person may not be able to put you on their stage, but they might know somebody that can, mm-hmm. right? So don't forget that they know like 10 people behind them that might be ideal people for you to connect with and get onto their stages. So even if that person in front of you doesn't have a stage or doesn't have a stage right now, they might know people that do. And that's, you know, I think that's what you're saying with the referral, even like, you know, even when you get off stage, make sure to ask, like, you know, like, is there somebody that else that you think would be a great audience to hear this message?
That's right. And even, you know, and that's the exact question that you're going to use after you speak. But I've had mm-hmm. clients who have pitched themselves for different conferences and they hear crickets. Don't take the crickets personal, because you might not be the right person, your topic for the theme of their conference that they're already planning. So this particular client that I'm thinking about, you know, like she's a story expert and helps people with storytelling. And 2 years after she had pitched them, out of the blue, they said, we'd like you to come and speak at our conference. And she was just like blown away, but her topic was perfect for that particular conference. So I just want to stress, like, don't take the crickets personally, because it's just not the right.
Absolutely. And don't hold it against them. Like, don't be like, okay, that's it. I'm never going to talk to them again. Like that's not the way to go. Well, how do you help people then? You know, obviously you have to get on the stages, and speaking is a, you know, a contact sport, folks. Like, you got to get out there and you got to do it. Yes. It's a participation sport. So, like, you got to practice. You got to get out there. But How do you help people? I believe that you help people actually craft the message, and make sure that it's captivating. Because the amount of people that I see go up that have a rely completely on a slideshow and read the slides, which or teach as if you're like back in university and you're using slide. Like, first of all, I think you should ditch the slides and just talk. But not everyone likes that. But like, how do you kind of draw people out, and especially given that you were shy to begin with, and you overcame that. You're a reformed shy person.
I'm a reformed, painfully shy. So I will share that story first. And I had left my corporate job. I wanted to become a coach. So I took coaching, and I was becoming a life coach. And it was a group of women that we were arranging an event, networking and some education. And they all just kind of looked at me and said, "You do the speaking." I don't even know why they picked me, but my head shook up and down. And inside I was like, "What are you doing? You don't speak in front of people." But self-integrity is one of my highest values. It always has been. And I said that I would do it, so I actually did it. I never thought about what would happen after I spoke, or even like, what would people think? Like, those questions like never occurred to me. So I got up there, and to your point, I turned into the college professor. For 15 minutes, I lectured. I just lectured this audience. And at the end, I just said, "Okay, I'm done." This is exactly what I said when I closed. "I'm done. And if you want to talk to me, I'll be in the back of the room." And I just wanted to get out in front of the people. And people actually came up to me and they were like, you know, even though I was a college professor, which I tell people not to do now, they were just like, "So do you have a website? Do you help people?" And I was like, "Did you not see the train wreck that just happened?" But speaking is so powerful, and that's what I learned. And I was able to actually fill my practice, you know, when I went from life coaching to leadership, and down the road, and now I'm doing speaking. And so that was how I got started, you know, and everybody gives their first speech. So PowerPoints, don't read off your PowerPoints. Please don't read off your PowerPoints. There shouldn't be that many words on a slide. You know, let's go back to what our moms taught us, and a picture is worth 1,000 words. A picture is worth 1,000 words. The picture that you have on a slide is basically to remind you of what story you want to tell. What's the lesson that goes with this? So there are a lot of people. So I am a big fan of slides, but not a whole lot, because there's still a lot of visual people, visual learners that are in your audience. So them seeing a slide, it just like, it will lock in like, "Oh, I get what she's talking about." Like one of mine, when I was speaking about leadership, was I mentioned about these two high school boys that were racing, they were competing. And there's a picture of like, you know, you'd have to like hear the whole story, but it's like one of them's carrying the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like to see that picture, you know, like it just provokes like emotion in your audience as I'm telling the story. But that picture is not only for the audience, but it's to remind me, what story am I telling next? But never read your slide. There should never be that many words on a slide, in my opinion.
I think that the benchmark is like 7 words on a slide is more than enough. So that's what I've heard.
Yeah, because you don't want people reading a slide. You want them listening to you. So, So take that into consideration. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that, you know, locking in for the people that are visual. I'm more analytical and tend not to be visual. So I always forget that other people learn differently. So I like that actual reminder to have that visual aid, and it does help you as you're going through, but don't rely on it, because technology will screw you up every time if you're relying on it. So
right.
There will be something that happens that the slides can't be shown, and you're just going to have to talk through it. So make sure that you can do that,
That's
and
right.
Continue on. And how do you then work with your folks on drawing out that less, like, you know, the lesson, the not being the lecturer, but being the storyteller?
Hmm. So one of the first things that I do with my clients is like the first session is like I am asking them questions about their hobbies and places that they've traveled to and what are some unique things. Like I want to just draw out all this uniqueness about them because we're going to put that into their signature speech. For example, the storyteller, her and her husband love to flip houses. So she actually loves to use power tools. And she's this really cute blonde. So it just, so I can sort of like picture her with like, a table saw and stuff and cutting, and we weaved those habits and those interesting facts about her into her story, into her signature speech. So that's how you stand out and you're different. But I also teach my clients because I work with coaches, consultants, and service providers. There's a certain formula to having a speech that basically is marketing your business without marketing your business. Because there's a lot of places out there they've been burned, and that's why they say you can't pitch your company, your services. So what I teach people is how to just plant little seeds throughout your presentation so that people are like, "Oh, she's got a program on sales. Oh, she's also a coach. Oh, she's got that program. Oh, we have to have her back for that program." So that's what ends up happening. But you want something that grabs the audience's attention because we've got these things called cell phones that are very distracting. And you want people to put their phones down and basically lean into you. I want to hear what you have to say. So you're grabbing people's attention. The next section is your authority section. This is where you have to give people a reason. So why should I listen to you? So this is where you are explaining to the audience why you're an authority on your particular topic. And then you're going to have your teaching. You're going to have three different points and supporting data for each of those tips or points that you're sharing with the audience. A lot of times, kind of like when I became the college professor for that very first presentation, I tried to jam too much into the presentation. And when you put too much into the presentation, you overwhelm the audience. An overwhelmed audience does nothing. They walk out and they're just like, "I'm not sure what to do. I've done this. I'm guilty of this." And I'm so grateful for the gentleman who walked up to me at the end and said, "Wow, that was a great presentation. That was so much information. I don't know what to do." And he literally pivoted and walked away. And I was like, "Okay, I got to learn from this." So I tell people, like my clients, like it's like you're going on a vacation and you have a small carry-on and you can only put three tips in that carry-on. Three, that's it. Not five, not seven, only got three. And three pieces of supporting data, three stories that kind of, it's like you become the lawyer. It's like, here's the point, and here's my supporting data for each of them. So there's only nine things in that suitcase.
And I think that what trips up, especially people that are trying to weave in their business without trying to weave in their business, but they really are, they get into the how. They get into the process. They get into, I have a course that has six modules and we meet on Wednesday at 2 o'clock and you can join and just come to the back of the room and we'll discuss it. Like even if you're speaking to sell, which is a whole different skill set, and that's like modules onto itself, but you still don't get into all that detail because people like that's not where they're at yet, right?
No, right. Think of your audience like your presentation is these are stepping stones. They're stepping stones. And your call to action is what is the next best step afterwards? You are building a relationship with these people, with everyone that's in your audience, and the right people are going to raise their hand if you do it right. Telling good stories. For you who's analytical, I would make sure that there were some numbers in there, some data, because that's what you love. You love to hear that data. And stories is candy for the mind. Our brains are just, they're just hardwired for stories. So tell stories. For me, I also use stories to handle objections that the audience is thinking or feeling. Like stories like, "I don't have enough time for this. I like, I don't have the money to do something. I was like, this will never work for my industry. You tell stories so that you're not really telling them, like, yes, you have time for this. You know, yes, you know, like you're going to stand out in the industry if you do this, like speaking. You know, you tell them a story and that they get to like, oh, they see themselves in the story. So get really good at storytelling.
Yeah. And I think that the, you know, even like we just get so bogged down in that how, but it's also, it's just like you said, it was a stepping stone. You're building the relationship. It's not a case of where's your credit card? Like, let's, you know, get to that. Like, that's not what the conversation is going to be about in 90% of the time that you're speaking, if not 95. Unless again, you're speaking to sell, which is totally different. But you're just introducing yourself, right? You're just kind of getting to know somebody. You're at the cocktail party. You're at the pregame. You're like, you're not at the main event yet. You're not, you know, like, calm down, like, slow down and let somebody get to know you and make sure that you get to know them too. Cause it is a two-way street, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you like, you're speaking on somebody else's platform in front of somebody else's audience. And then like that stepping stone, like after the presentation, you know, like it could be like some sort of a download, like let's get them onto your email list so that then you can share other things with them and continue that relationship building with them and then make your offers. But again, we are building relationships with the people that are in our audience, and audiences are smarter and smarter, and they are also tired. They're tired and they also want to get back in in-person events. So in-person events are definitely coming back because people are just tired, I think, of the past few years of just being very much online. So if you can, like, go attend networking events, go attend local speaking events, even as an attendee, because that's how you're going to meet the meeting planners.
Yep, absolutely. And it's also, you know, as you go to even an event that you're an attendee at, you can still have your free gift to give out. Like, you can still have the link to the free gift. Now, I'm going to suggest a quiz because that's, you know, that's my gig, you know, and that's easy to drop in any situation. But it's also great to give the meeting presenter that, like the person that's organizing the event, like, hey, if you want to learn more about what I'm doing, like, take the free lead magnet, take the quiz. That's amazing. And speaking of free gifts, I believe that you have a free gift for our audience, which I'm super excited to actually dig into.
Thank you. If you want to like tap into some of these 7,500 speaking events that happen today and are happening tomorrow, I have a directory of places to speak that is broken down into 6 different categories. And it was recently, I updated it for this year. So it's really nice and juicy. So that is at speakandstandout.com/directory. Nice and easy.
Easy. See, that's the kind of thing that you want to drop on a podcast, on a summit, at a networking event. Super easy. And then Lorianne will be reaching out and, you know, connecting and seeing how maybe you can work together. But that's the kind of relationship building that we need to get into as entrepreneurs, because the whole idea of kind of smash and grab, like the, you know, like buy this now because it's going to go away in 12.2 seconds. Like, those days are done. Like, those days are over, and it's going to be about, if it's not already, and I think it is, about relationship building. So, you know, and about being of service to each other. Don't waste their time so that they don't waste your time, right?
That's right. And I think the reason why I kind of fell in love with speaking once I got over my shyness was building those relationships with people, because connection is one of my highest values. I will take like having a conversation with just one or two people at an event versus like, you know, like a, just like a hi, how are you to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So well, yeah, get out there and build those relationships. And I know that you've had other podcast guests talk about relationships, and like there, it's gold. It's absolute gold. Jill Hart was the one who was recently talking about relationships.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's critical these days. So, well, thank you so much, Lorianne, for joining us. That link will be in the show notes, of course, for people to connect with you and to, you know, take advantage of your gift in the 7,500 daily speaking gigs that are available. I don't want to hear again that you can't find a gig. Like, honestly, like, come on, people, like, let's get working here. So thank you so much for that. Appreciate you being on Kickstart the Conversation. And to everyone listening out there, stay curious, keep asking questions, keep getting to know your ideal clients better and build those relationships. And we'll see you again next week.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Kickstart the Conversation. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending your time with us. We hope you found our discussion about leads, lists, and leveraging relationships helpful. As we've learned, asking well-designed questions is the key to kickstarting conversations with your ideal clients, building authentic relationships, and ultimately driving more sales. So get out there and start asking those intentional questions. Your ideal clients are waiting for you. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. While you're at it, leave a rating and review and be sure to share it with your friends. We have lots of great conversations coming up every week that you won't want to miss. Until next time, keep asking great questions and kickstarting those conversations.